Welcome to another deep dive.
Oh.
Today we're going to be exploring how the New Testament portrays Jesus' death and resurrection.
Okay.
And we'll be guided by the insights of Dr. David L. Mathewson,
right,
a renowned New Testament scholar.
Yeah.
Buckle up, because we're about to uncover some fascinating connections between Jesus' sacrifice and Old Testament traditions.
Yeah.
We'll also discover how the New Testament explains Jesus' death and what his resurrection truly means.
It's not just about what happened, but why it matters.
Right.
The New Testament doesn't simply recount the events of Jesus' death and resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
It dives deep into their significance.
That's what I love about these deep dives. We get to go beyond the surface level.
Mm-hmm.
So where do we begin with understanding the significance of Jesus' death?
One of the most intriguing points Dr. Mathewson makes,
okay,
is that the New Testament consistently portrays believers as active participants in Jesus' death. Not just passive beneficiaries.
Okay. That immediately caught my attention.
Yeah.
I think most of us tend to view Jesus' death as something that happened to him, something
right.
we benefit from.
Yeah.
What does it mean to actively participate in it?
That's precisely the question Dr. Mathewson digs into.
Okay.
Think about Romans 6, where baptism is compared to being buried and raised with Christ.
Okay.
This imagery suggests we're not just watching from the sidelines.
Yeah.
We're symbolically experiencing death to our old selves and being reborn into a new life.
So it's like a spiritual reset button.
In a way, yes.
Yeah.
It signifies a radical shift in our identity and how we live.
Right.
And that's just one layer of how the New Testament interprets Jesus' death. It also draws heavily on the Old Testament to explain its significance.
Right, like the idea that Jesus' death fulfills the Old Testament sacrificial system. I remember learning about those rituals involving blood and atonement
right.
back in Sunday school.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Dr. Mathewson points to Hebrews 9,
okay.
where Jesus' death is presented as the culmination of those sacrifices. He argues that it goes beyond just purification. It provides ultimate atonement for sin.
And it's not just about atonement.
Right.
There's also the Christus Victor concept, where Jesus' death represents a victory over evil forces, right?
Yes. And it's important to understand what Christus Victor really means.
Okay.
It portrays Jesus' death not as a passive surrender, but as a deliberate act of conquering the powers of darkness.
Wow.
It's a cosmic battle with incredibly high stakes.
Wow. I've never thought about it that way.
Yeah.
But the New Testament doesn't stop there, does it?
No.
It presents a variety of explanations for Jesus' death.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's like a multifaceted gem with each facet revealing a different dimension of truth.
Like the concept of ransom, right? Mm-hmm. In Mark 10:45, Jesus talks about giving his life as a ransom for many.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That metaphor emphasizes the idea of liberation.
Okay.
It's like we were held captive and Jesus' death paid the price to set us free. It's a powerful image of redemption, wouldn't you say?
Definitely. But I think the interpretation most people are familiar with is substitutionary atonement. The idea that Jesus took the punishment for our sins.
Right.
Dr. Mathewson says it's central to the New Testament's understanding of Jesus' death, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Think about 2 Corinthians 5.21, where Paul says, God made Jesus who had no sin to be sin for us. It's almost like a divine exchange took place.
Wow.
Allowing us to be reconciled to God.
It's a pretty heavy concept, and it's definitely sparked a lot of debate over the centuries.
Yeah.
Are there any other interpretations the New Testament presents?
Yes, there are.
Okay.
One that often gets overlooked is the idea of Jesus' death as a moral example.
Okay.
We see this in verses like Ephesians 5.1-2, where Christians are urged to walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us.
So even though it's not the only interpretation, the New Testament also presents Jesus' death as a model for how we should live.
Precisely. 1 Peter 2 also echoes this theme, using the imagery of the suffering servant from Isaiah. Peter encourages believers to follow Christ's example of enduring suffering without retaliating.
That's a tough one to live up to.
Yeah.
But I guess that speaks to the transformative power of Christ's example.
And it goes back to the point we made earlier about participating in Jesus' death.
Right.
It's not just about accepting a theological concept. It's about living in a way that reflects that reality.
Okay. We've touched on a lot of interpretations already.
Uh-huh.
But there's one that always throws me for a loop, propitiation.
I understand.
Yeah.
It could be a difficult concept to grasp.
Yeah.
Dr. Mathewson explains it as Jesus' death appeasing God's wrath.
Okay.
Turning it away from humanity.
So is it saying God is angry and needs to be calmed down?
It's not about God being angry in a vindictive way.
Right.
Think of it more like this.
Okay.
God has a perfect standard of justice that can't be ignored.
Right.
Sin disrupts that perfect order,
right,
and there are consequences.
Yeah.
But through Jesus' sacrifice, God's justice is satisfied, opening the door for forgiveness and reconciliation.
So instead of lowering his standards, God upholds them in a way that makes forgiveness possible.
Exactly.
Okay, that makes more sense.
Romans 3.25 actually uses the word propitiation when talking about Christ's sacrifice.
Oh.
But it's worth noting that some scholars have different views on this.
Okay.
They argue that the emphasis should be on expiation, the idea of sin being cleansed or removed.
Ah, so even among scholars, there are differing opinions on how to interpret these concepts. It's not as cut and dry as it might seem.
And that's what makes studying theology so fascinating, this ongoing conversation.
Right.
The continual exploration of these profound mysteries.
This is a lot to process. Before we get into the resurrection,
right,
is there anything else about the significance of Jesus' death that Dr. Mathewson highlights?
I think one of the biggest things is that it changes everything about how we live right now.
Okay, we've unpacked a lot about the significance of Jesus' death.
Right.
But the story doesn't end there, right? The resurrection is just as crucial to understanding the whole picture.
Exactly. And Dr. Mathewson makes a really compelling point.
Okay.
He says the resurrection isn't just some future event we're waiting for. It has a direct impact on how we live right now.
That's interesting. It's easy to think about the resurrection as something that happens after we die.
Right.
But you're saying it changes how we experience life today.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If you think about it, the resurrection isn't just about Jesus coming back to life.
Right.
It's about his victory over death itself.
Okay.
And that victory has implications for us here and now.
So how does that play out in our daily lives? What does living in light of the resurrection actually look like?
Well, one of the key implications Dr. Mathewson points to is our relationship with sin.
Okay, that makes sense. I guess if we're truly raised with Christ, as Paul writes in Romans 6.4,
yes,
that should change how we relate to sin.
Right. The idea is that through our identification with Christ in his death and resurrection,
okay,
we're no longer slaves to sin.
Yeah.
It doesn't have the same power over us.
So it's not that we'll never be tempted anymore,
right,
but we have the power to resist.
Yeah.
We have a new freedom to choose a different path.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Romans 6.12 puts it this way. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires.
Okay.
We're empowered to say no to sin and live in a way that honors God.
That's a powerful shifting perspective.
Yeah.
It's not about struggling to be good enough.
Right.
It's about recognizing the power we have through Christ to live differently.
And that brings us to another crucial aspect of the resurrection.
Okay.
Our new identity.
Right.
If we're no longer defined by our past or by our sin,
right,
who are we now?
Good question. It's like our old identity has been wiped clean.
Right.
So what takes its place?
Dr. Mathewson would say we now have a new identity as children of God.
Okay.
We're adopted into his family through faith in Jesus.
Wow, that's a pretty radical transformation.
It really is. And this new identity isn't just some abstract concept. It comes with certain privileges and responsibilities.
Like what?
Well, think about it this way. If we're children of God, we're now citizens of a different kingdom.
Right.
We're called to live out the values of that kingdom.
Mm.
Things like love, justice, mercy, and compassion.
Right.
It's about reflecting God's character in the world.
So it's not just about an internal transformation. It's about letting that transformation affect how we live.
Right.
How we treat others, how we engage with the world around us.
Exactly. Yeah. We're called to be ambassadors for Christ to represent him in everything we do.
That's a huge responsibility.
Yeah.
And sometimes I feel like I fall short.
Right.
I know these theological truths.
Yeah.
But it's hard to always live them out consistently.
I think we all struggle with that. It's a lifelong journey of growing in our faith and becoming more like Christ.
So what can we do to bridge that gap between what we know and how we live? How do we practically tap into the power of the resurrection in our everyday lives?
That's a great question. And Dr. Mathewson actually offers some practical advice. First, he emphasizes the importance of staying grounded in God's word.
Okay, that makes sense. If the Bible is our guidebook for living as Christians,
yeah,
we should be spending time reading and studying it. But sometimes it feels like I'm just going through the motions.
I get that. But think of it this way.
Okay.
The Bible isn't just a collection of stories or rules.
Right.
It's God's living word.
Okay.
And it has the power to transform us from the inside out.
Right.
It's through regular engagement with Scripture that we're reminded of who we are in Christ and what He's called us to be.
So it's not just about gaining knowledge.
Right.
It's about letting God's Word shape our hearts and minds.
Exactly. When we immerse ourselves in Scripture, we allow the truths about God, about ourselves and about the world to sink in and take root.
So spending time in God's Word is one practical step.
Yeah.
What else does Dr. Mathewson recommend?
He also highlights the importance of prayer.
Okay.
It's through prayer that we connect with God on a personal level.
Sometimes I think of prayer as just asking God for things I need or want.
I think we've all been there.
Yeah.
But prayer is so much more than that.
Right.
It's about cultivating a relationship with God.
Okay.
Talking to Him, listening to Him, and seeking His guidance in our lives.
It's like any other relationship. It requires communication and intentionality.
Right. And through prayer, we invite God's presence into our lives and allow Him to work in and through us.
Okay. So we've got staying in God's Word.
Yeah.
And prioritizing prayer.
Yes.
Anything else?
One more crucial element Dr. Mathewson mentions is the importance of community.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
We weren't meant to live the Christian life in isolation.
Exactly. We need the support, encouragement, and accountability of other believers.
I love that. It's like having a spiritual pit crew.
Right.
People who are there to cheer us on, pick us up when we fall, and celebrate our victories with us.
Yes.
It's hard to imagine trying to navigate this journey alone.
It definitely is.
Yeah.
And it's not just about receiving support. It's about giving it as well.
Okay.
We're called to love and serve one another, to bear each other's burdens, mm-hmm. and to encourage one another in our faith.
So it's this beautiful cycle of giving and receiving.
Yeah.
Of mutual edification and support.
Yeah, exactly.
It sounds like the perfect environment for growth and transformation.
It really is. And it's within this context of community that we can truly experience the power of the resurrection in tangible ways.
Okay.
But Dr. Mathewson adds one more crucial element to the mix.
Okay.
Obedience.
Ah, yes. It's not enough to just talk the talk.
Right.
We have to walk the walk as well.
Exactly. True faith expresses itself in action.
Okay.
It's about aligning our lives with God's will and putting our beliefs into practice.
Sometimes that feels overwhelming. Like, where do I even start?
I think it starts with recognizing that obedience isn't about earning God's favor.
Okay.
We can't work our way to salvation or acceptance.
So if it's not about earning anything, what's the motivation?
The motivation is love and gratitude. When we truly grasp the depth of God's love for us, the love that led Him to send His Son to die for us,
right.
our natural response is to want to live in a way that honors Him.
Right.
Obedience becomes an act of worship.
Okay.
A way of saying thank you for the incredible gift of grace we've received.
Okay. That puts a whole new spin on it. It's not about following a set of rules out of fear or obligation.
Right.
It's about living in a way that reflects the transformative power of Christ's love in our lives.
Precisely. And that love will inevitably spill over into how we treat others.
Yeah.
How we make decisions and how we engage with the world around us.
I'm starting to see how all these pieces fit together. Staying in God's Word.
Yeah.
Cultivating a vibrant prayer life.
Yeah.
Being part of a supportive community.
Right.
And living in obedience. These are all essential ingredients for living out the resurrection reality.
And the beauty of it is that it's not about striving for perfection.
Right.
It's about allowing God's grace to work in and through us. It's about taking those practical steps day by day and trusting that He'll meet us where we are.
It's encouraging to remember that we don't have to do it all on our own.
Yeah.
We have the power of the Holy Spirit working within us.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
We're not relying on our own strength or willpower.
Right.
We're tapping into the supernatural power of God's Spirit, who empowers us to live in a way that aligns with His will.
This is so helpful.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people struggle with feeling like they're not living up to some ideal Christian standard.
Yeah.
But what you're saying is that it's more about surrender than striving.
Exactly. It's about surrendering our lives to Christ.
Yeah.
And allowing Him to work in and through us.
Yeah.
It's about recognizing that we're a work in progress, and that's okay.
But if we're truly raised with Christ, doesn't that change how we view death itself?
Mm.
It's still a scary concept for a lot of people.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
Dr. Mathewson addresses this directly.
Okay.
He says that while death remains a physical reality, its sting has been removed for those who are in Christ.
So you're saying it doesn't hold the same power over us anymore.
Right. Think about 1 Corinthians 15:55-57.
Okay.
Where, O death, is your victory. Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Those are powerful words.
Yeah.
So instead of fearing death, we can face it with hope and even anticipation.
Exactly. We can embrace the promise that for those who are in Christ, death is not the end.
Right.
It's a transition to eternal life, a doorway into a new and glorious reality.
That's a game changer.
Yeah.
It shifts our entire perspective.
Yeah.
But even if we embrace that truth intellectually, I think it's still hard to fully grasp on an emotional level.
I agree. It's one thing to understand it conceptually,
but
it's another to truly internalize it and let it shape how we live.
So how do we do that?
Yeah.
How do we move beyond just knowing these truths to actually experiencing them?
Dr. Mathewson would say it's an ongoing process
of
allowing the truth of the resurrection to permeate every area of our lives.
Right.
It's about living in light of eternity.
Okay.
Recognizing that our time on earth is precious.
Yeah.
And that we have an eternal destiny to prepare for.
I can see how that would shift our priorities if we're living with eternity in mind.
Right.
Things that seem so important in the moment might start to lose their grip on us.
Exactly. We'll be less consumed by earthly possessions, achievements, or anxieties.
Right.
We'll be more focused on building up treasures in heaven.
Okay.
On living a life that matters for eternity.
This is all starting to make sense.
Yeah.
But I have to be honest. Sometimes I feel like I'm just going through the motions.
Right.
Like my life isn't reflecting this new creation reality at all.
I think we all feel that way sometimes.
Yeah.
It's easy to get caught up in the busyness of life.
Right.
And lose sight of the bigger picture.
Yeah.
But Dr. Mathewson offers some encouragement for those moments.
Yeah. I'm all ears. What does he suggest?
He reminds us that living out the resurrection isn't about achieving some level of spiritual perfection.
Okay.
It's about embracing the journey with all its ups and downs.
Yeah.
It's about recognizing that we're a work in progress.
Right.
And that God's grace is sufficient for us.
That's a relief to hear.
Yeah.
So it's not about beating ourselves up when we mess up. It's about getting back up and continuing to move forward in faith.
Exactly. And it's about remembering that we're not alone in this journey.
Right.
We have the Holy Spirit to guide us.
Yeah.
The Word of God to sustain us.
Right.
And the community of faith to support us.
This has been so helpful.
Yeah.
Before we wrap up, can we do a quick recap of the practical implications of the resurrection that we've discussed?
Absolutely. We started by talking about how the resurrection isn't just a past event.
Right.
It's an ongoing reality that should transform our lives today.
Right.
We explored how it impacts our relationship with sin, giving us the power to break free from its grip and live in righteousness.
Right. And we discussed how the resurrection gives us a new identity as children of God,
yes,
which comes with certain privileges and responsibilities.
We also talked about the importance of outward expression.
Yeah.
Of letting our transformed hearts overflow into our actions and interactions with the world.
And we emphasize the significance of God's mission.
Right.
Recognizing that we're called to participate in his work of redemption and renewal.
And finally, we delved into some practical ways to tap into the power of the resurrection in our everyday lives.
Okay.
Staying in God's word, cultivating a vibrant prayer life, being part of a supportive community, and living in obedience to God's will.
This has been so insightful.
Yeah.
I think it's easy to get bogged down in the theological details and miss the practical implications.
It's true. But the beauty of the resurrection is that it's not just a theological concept.
Right.
It's a life-changing reality that has the power to transform us from the inside out.
Okay, before we move on to the final part of our deep dive, let's pause for a moment and let these insights sink in. Take a deep breath and consider what resonates with you the most.
Yeah.
How does the resurrection challenge you to live differently? What steps can you take to embrace this new life in Christ more fully?
Wow, that was a powerful reflection on how the resurrection impacts us here and
now.
But I'm curious about something.
Yeah.
We've talked a lot about personal transformation, but what about the bigger picture? Does the resurrection have implications beyond our individual lives?
Absolutely. Dr. Mathewson brings up a fascinating concept that helps us understand this wider impact.
Okay.
It's called inaugurated eschatology.
Okay. I have to admit, that sounds a little intimidating. What does that even mean?
Don't worry. It's not as complicated as it sounds.
Okay.
It essentially means that the future kingdom of God has already broken into the present through Jesus's resurrection.
Mm.
It's like we're getting a preview of what's to come.
So instead of waiting for heaven, we can experience a taste of it now?
Yeah.
Exactly. And it changes how we view our role in the world. world.
Okay.
It's not just about escaping this life and going to heaven when we die.
Right.
It's about partnering with God to bring his kingdom values.
Okay.
Things like justice, peace, and love.
Right.
Into the here and now.
That puts a whole new spin on things.
Yeah.
So how do we practically live out this kingdom come reality?
It starts with recognizing that the resurrection isn't just about individual salvation.
Okay.
It's about the renewal of all creation.
Right.
Dr. Mathewson points to Romans 8:19-21, where Paul talks about the whole creation groaning and eagerly waiting for God's children to be revealed.
It's like the world is holding its breath, waiting for us to step into our role as healers and restorers.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
And that responsibility touches every aspect of life.
Okay.
How we care for the environment, how we pursue justice, how we build relationships, how we use our gifts and resources.
Right.
It's about being agents of transformation in every sphere.
That sounds like a daunting task, especially when the world feels so broken and messed up.
Yeah.
How can we possibly make a difference in the face of so much pain and injustice?
It's true. The challenges are immense.
Right.
But Dr. Mathewson reminds us that we're not in this alone.
Oh.
We have the power of the Holy Spirit working in and through us.
So it's not about mustering up our own strength or willpower.
Right.
But relying on God's power at work within us.
Exactly. It's about surrendering to the Spirit's leading.
Okay.
Allowing God to work through us to accomplish his purposes.
I love that visual. We're like God's instruments, his hands and feet in the world, bringing his love and healing to those around us.
And while that's a beautiful image,
yeah,
it's important to remember that it's not always easy.
Right.
This kind of work requires sacrifice, perseverance, and a willingness to step outside our comfort zones.
But it's also incredibly rewarding, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's nothing more fulfilling than being part of something bigger than ourselves.
Mm.
Something that brings glory to God and makes a real difference in the world.
It's like we're co-creators with God, participating in his grand narrative of redemption and renewal.
Yeah.
And it's not just a future hope. It's a present reality that we can experience and participate in right now.
Beautifully said.
Yeah.
It's about bringing heaven to earth, one act of love, one step toward justice, one moment of kindness at a time.
Right.
It's about embodying the hope, joy, peace, and love that the resurrection has unleashed into the world.
This has been such an incredible journey exploring the meaning and impact of Jesus's death and resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
They're not just historical facts. They're transformative truths that have the power to change our lives and the world around us.
And it all starts with us, with our willingness to embrace the reality of the resurrection and live out its implications in our own lives.
So as we go from here, let's carry this message of hope with us. Let's be resurrection people, bringing light to the darkness and transforming the world around us one step at a time.
That's great.
Thanks for joining us on this incredible deep dive.